From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns concludes a message entitled, The Full Extent of the Grace of God, the fifth in a series devoted to the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul. We've been remarking that although Paul the Apostle was an extraordinary man in so many ways, yet the aspects of his conversion are something common to all Christians. As Dr. Cairns has been showing, Paul received mercy, just as any true Christian does. Then he received a master. And there's a fallacy that is all too common in this day, that a person can receive Christ as his Savior, but refuse to acknowledge Him as his Lord. The Bible knows absolutely nothing of such type of salvation. The third thing that Paul received upon being saved was a ministry. The work of reaching the lost was committed to him, as it is to all who are truly born again. Finally, Paul received a message, the same message that believers are to herald forth today. He preached Christ crucified. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, please enjoy this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Not Forgotten. The text is Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 21. Thou art my servant, O Israel, thou shalt not be forgotten of me. Our Jehovah cannot so forget his servants as to cease to love them. He chose them not for a time, but forever. He knew what they would be when he called them into the divine family. He blots out their sins like a cloud, and we may be sure that he will not turn them out of doors for iniquities which he has blotted out. It would be blasphemy to imagine such a thing. He will not forget them so as to cease to think of them. One forgetful moment on the part of our God would be our ruin. Therefore, he says, Thou shalt not be forgotten of me. Men forget us. Those whom we have benefited turn against us. We have no abiding place in the fickle hearts of men. But God will never forget one of his true servants. He binds himself to us not by what we do for him, but by what he has done for us. We have been loved too long, and bought at too great a price to be now forgotten. Jesus sees in us his soul's travail, and that he never can forget. The Father sees in us the spouse of his Son, and the Spirit sees in us his own effectual work. The Lord thinketh upon us. This day we shall be succored and sustained. Oh, that the Lord may never be forgotten of us.
His love and her control.
Do you have a desire to study the Bible, but you're not really sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study today.
Things must mark our witness as they mark the Apostle Paul's witness. Experience. You speak from knowledge, not theory. Do you ever wonder why God didn't appoint angels to be preachers? Would they not make better preachers? Sure they would. They would never forget a reference. They would never speak a wrong word. They would never get mixed up. They would never commit a spoonerism. They would never do anything like that. The angels, you could be sure, would do a perfect job of preaching. There's just one thing an angel could never do. He could never give a testimony. An angel could never speak from experience of saving grace. He could never speak from experience of a cleansed conscience. He could never look a sinner in the eye and say, I was where you are. I sat where you're sitting. I have felt what you're feeling. I know what it is to be in that position. And I can tell you from experience, there's power in the blood of the Lamb. No angel could do that. And every Christian can do that. Our witness should be the witness of experience. It should be a witness of evangelism. You say, what other kind of witness is there? Well, I agree there shouldn't be any other kind of witness, really. Whatever we do in witnessing should always have an evangelistic flavor. But the reality is that Christians witness out of guilt. They witness to make up a quota. They witness to win an argument. They witness to prove a point. Sometimes they're more interested in making a convert to their political views than they are about making a convert to Christ. Maybe I'm stomping all over your pet corns now. Well, stick your feet out a little further and I'll dance. Because if there's one thing that really does gall me, it is this, that we have Christians who could talk all day and all night about the Republican Party and its platform, and I'm not criticizing its platform in any way, but those same people would never open their mouths about Christ. And listen, you could turn the whole of America to the Republican Party tomorrow, and they would still go to hell. Our witness should be a witness of evangelism. And do not let us be sidetracked from what is of paramount importance. Tell them of Christ, the mighty to save. All these other things are of importance. Sure, every Christian has a right to have an interest in the well-being of his country and the good government of his country. I am not talking about ignoring those things, but I am saying whatever you do, wherever you go, whatever your interest is, never forget that a Christian's witness is to be evangelistic. It will not make any difference on the judgment day that you can say, I turned a man from being a socialist to a capitalist. Hell will be just as hot, maybe 10 times hotter. Evangelistic witness. And of course, it should be marked by effectiveness. And here we get to an area that is a great concern, and that is ineffective witnessing. So many of God's people have so little knowledge of the Word of God. They have so little real experience of the Scriptures in their own lives from day to day that they're simply parroting what somebody else has told them to say. They don't have the Scriptures at their fingertips. They don't know God in such a real way that they can actually speak a word in season to him that is weary. Oh God, give us effective witness. For as soon as we're saved, when we receive mercy, we receive a master. And we receive a ministry. And to prosecute that ministry, we receive a message. I have somewhat anticipated this. But in Galatians 1, Paul says, God revealed his Son in me that I might preach what? Him among the heathen. We read in Acts 9, as soon as he got saved, what did he do? Straightway, he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. And he never deviated from that for the rest of his life. Take a look at the life and work of Paul. When he went to Corinth, a wicked, immoral city, what did he do? He preached Christ. When he went to Athens, that city of culture and of learning, what did he do? He preached Christ. When he went to Jerusalem, that seat of Judaism, what did he do? He preached Christ. When he got to Rome, the imperial capital, what did he do? He preached Christ to heathens and to Jews, to rich and to poor, to moral and to immoral. He preached Christ. That was his message. God has no other message. The gospel is the power of God. Now, when God saves us, something happens. The message is no longer something out there. The message is something in here. As soon as you're saved, you receive a message. You may not know a lot of theology, but you know the basics of the message. And there's something so refreshing and something so irresistible about a young Christian's grasp of the message of the gospel and their fervor in giving it out. How often we have seen this, that people who are just saved, they go here and there. They don't know all the ins and outs of Reformed theology, but they know Christ, and He is the message. And so wherever they go, it's just gushing out of them. It's Christ. What a tremendous impact that has. When I went to school, and despite all appearances to the contrary, I actually did go to school. There came an American preacher to Belfast, and he had a great citywide crusade. He was a magnificent preacher. I would dare to say one of the most brilliant preachers this country has produced in many, many a long day. And as he preached, the whole city was moved, and many, many people came to know the Lord Jesus Christ at the Jack Schuller Crusade in Belfast in 1956. That's giving a lot away. Now there was chaff. You always get where you have a harvest, you've always chaff. But the outstanding memory that I have of those days is that in that school, it was a boys' school with no godliness in the school. I don't know how I got there. A lot of the social elite sent their sons to that school. People who had never really heard the gospel or known the gospel in all their lives. But a few young men got saved. And they started talking. Just wherever they went, they didn't know a lot of theology. They didn't know a lot of the truth. They just knew the message of the gospel in its basic simplicity. And wherever they went, it was just gushing out. And you could see on the faces of those around about them, what do we do with these people? They couldn't answer them. They couldn't argue with them. They couldn't do anything with them. Because for the first time, they had come up against, in their own class of society, they had come up against spiritual truth. And it lets me see just what can be done when Christians who have the message inside of them and it's gushing out of them, when they go and tell of Jesus. Oh, this is a great gift we have received. It's a great message to preach. And surely as we use it, God will bless. Here then is the full extent of saving grace as Paul looked back on it. He said, God gave him mercy, God gave him a master, God gave him a ministry, and God gave him a message. That's what he's given to every one of us who knows Christ. Let me close by saying this, that if you are in this meeting tonight and you need mercy, then there's mercy with the Lord. Maybe you're a blasphemer. Maybe you've been insolent, insulting, injurious toward Christ. Maybe you feel tonight, I'm as guilty and hell-deserving a sinner as a man or a young man or a woman or a young woman could be. Let me tell you, there's mercy with the Lord. Come to Christ, and He has mercy for you. And if you have received mercy, then serve your Master. Take up your ministry. Set about spreading the message, remembering that without that message and without that ministry, souls will perish forever. We have a great God. We have a great Savior. We therefore have a great responsibility. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt bless Thy word. We thank Thee for what Thou hast done in the life of every Christian. We thank Thee for the fullness of grace. We thank Thee for the mercy we have received. We thank Thee, our God, for the glorious transformation that Thou hast given us in our hearts, a desire to have Christ as Master. No longer are we running away from Him, seeking to deny His Lordship, but openly, gladly embracing it. We thank Thee for giving us a ministry. Lord, what a privilege it is to have a ministry in serving the living Christ. What a privilege it is, our God, to have this glorious work of uplifting the name of the Lord Jesus. And what a message Thou hast given us. Thank God Thou hast not given us merely some man-made philosophy, some neatly packaged little theory. Thou hast given us the divine revelation of grace. Oh God, we're glad Thou hast given us a message. Help us to preach it to a world that's dying in sin. Save the lost tonight. Stir up the hearts of Thy people. Give fruit for the preaching of Thy word. And part us now with Thy very richest blessing. Grant that grace, mercy, and peace from our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit will be our abiding portion this night and evermore. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.